is from Isaiah chapter 42. We've been looking at the book of Isaiah during our Advent series. As our Advent series messages, we covered chapters 7 and 9, 11, and we jump all the way to chapter 42 today. Before reading this wonderful text today, let's pray together. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us to your word. And thank you so much for your word that we can hear. We can understand your wills and plans for your people. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will upon us today, even using me as your instrument so that we can see your glory and we can taste the kingdom of God here at this very place. Lord, as we pray during our congregational prayer, we are ready to listen. So would you please come and speak to us and help us to see our Lord Jesus Christ from this very text. And help us to see your grace from our text. We pray all these things in your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. We are using the ESV Bible that our chairs. This is the word of God. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and a spirit to those who walk on it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisoner, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of God. And Isaiah chapter 2. To help you, those of you who didn't come to our Advent series, and I'm going to help you a little bit. In our spiritual journey to Christ during the Advent of 2015 started with Isaiah chapter 7. And the story goes back to Isaiah chapter 7 in the middle of war, which means Assyria plus northern kingdom, Israel. They attacked the southern kingdom, Judah. Now your southern kingdom, Judah, King Ahaz asked King Assyria to save his nation. That was something wrong. So the prophet Isaiah came and visited him, King Ahaz, and said, to proclaim that God will save the nation from the hands of enemies, not someone else. And also Isaiah said that God will send the Messiah. There is chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Which is a great passage that we already looked at. And then as we already know, King Ahaz did not trust God at all. And rather he asked the king of Assyria for help, coming and help us, to save us. Yes, King Assyria and his nation and his soldiers came to Jerusalem, But they did not help King Ahaz. We know the story. Rather, they destroyed the nation, Jerusalem. That is recorded in Isaiah chapter 8 and so far. Now, in the middle of this destruction and hopelessness, because there's no kingdom, nothing there, God promised them again to send the Messiah to save them. That's very interesting. They didn't listen. They ignored God's word. But God promised them again. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, this is wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace is coming. That's awesome to know. God is helping them. God never gives up. God's judgment actually came upon Assyria in Isaiah chapter 10. You can read a story. And then later, when there was nothing remained, even the powerful country, the kingdom Assyria, gone, destroyed, and no more glory of Judah. And again, God promised the people of God that the coming ruler, the Messiah, will redeem his people. That is Isaiah chapter 11 that we looked at last week. Chapter 11, verse 1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And then verse 9, which is one of my favorite verses from the Bible. They shall not hurt and destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In Isaiah chapter 9, 7 and 9, 11, we call them as a messianic prophecy chapters, along with chapter 42 or 53. Now, these chapters clearly present us the coming Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will redeem his people, redeem the nation and the world. These chapters are very Christ-centered chapters. Carefully reading these chapters, you will meet our Lord Jesus Christ. All the people in the Old Testament, they did not understand the meaning of the Messiah, the coming Messiah. Now, we are able to understand by carefully reading the Old Testament and New Testament together. Isaiah's prophecy was all about Jesus Christ. That makes us very exciting, reading this long and thick book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah chapter 42. Here once again, God's promise, his promise for his people is showing in Isaiah chapter 42. And actually, God's promise of sending the Messiah is started in actually Isaiah chapter 40. We can go back to two more chapters, which is another famous chapters from the Isaiah, starting like, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. I like to sing this one. Reading Isaiah chapter 40 and 41, 42, 43, 44 all together today would help us to understand about the coming Messiah. Here in Isaiah chapter 42, we see God speaks to his people what the Messiah would do when he comes. So this will be outline of our text today. We're going to look at God's relationship to the Messiah, which is verse 1, and the test of the Messiah, which is verses 2 and 4, and then God's mighty work on the Messiah, which is verses 5 and 9, three different parts. Verse 1, Isaiah chapter 42 and 1 is about servant. Isaiah 42 begins with God's promise of sending his servant, and my servant, he said, to the Israelites, God's people. So Isaiah 42 is known as to us as the servant song. Here the word the servant is a theme of chapter 42. We can connect all our minds and our understandings of the scripture with this word, a servant, in order to understand chapter 42. Now here, in order to draw their attention, I mean, readers and people of Israel, their attention, here Isaiah proclaimed his prophecy with the famous word, behold. And we cannot translate that word in English, but behold, when people hear that word, behold, when a prophet is saying, behold, that is a serious time. Behold, see the servant. This is time to listen and look. Behold, God's promise is coming. God's promise to send his servant to rule the world. 42 begins, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring up forth justice to the nation. So many things we can get out from this verse. Verse 1 actually tells of God's relationship and justice and with his servant. Now, we're going to look at this verse, just carefully looking at the words that we can find. First one is uphold. Now here God says, whom I uphold. Now this special word, meaning in Hebrew, is a divine, providing divine aid. So actually meaning is God is providing his power and everything to the servant. And another meaning is God is sustaining him. He's holding. He holds the servant fast. Hold the servants in the deepest affection and love, God's love. So another way to understanding is, the uphold meaning is, God's presence with the servant. And also God says, my chosen here. Now here I found two different understandings. John Calvin says this is the one who was chosen, and other contemporary scholars understood that the excellent one, I go by the second one, because the Messiah is not like other prophets or God's servants, because he is carrying a special, the special God's mission. The Messiah is the special one. He is the one who will bring the special God's salvation plan, his work to his people. He is the one who will carry God's redeeming plan to us. So, he who is to carry God's redeeming plan must be chosen of God himself. That's why Isaiah is saying, my chosen. So logically thinking, it's obvious to read the next line will be, my chosen, therefore, in whom my... I lost the line here. In whom my soul delights. The same wording here at the baptism of Jesus Christ. And then God spoke from heaven. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17 he says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Now, God delights with his servant, the servant. Since God has chosen the servant for his work, his redeeming work, God has given him his spirit as well. And then our text said, I have put my spirit upon him. That's obvious. We know that God's spirit is a divine force and power to equip the prophets in the Old Testament from in the New Testament. So most scholars understood that God has to put his power and everything upon his servant, because the servant has the most difficult mission to carry. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Justice in the original language is not justice. It goes by judgment. The message that the servant will bring to the world is the message of judgment. That is very difficult. Why the message of judgment? I thought about that. Because the servant will bring the message that there's only one true God. King Ahaz and people of Israelites and everybody around the Israelites. You look at different things, but there is only one true God. Because the servant will bring the truth of God, it will be a word of judgment for them. It reminds us of Isaiah chapter 11 and 9. For the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. People in the world will hear the message of Jesus Christ. The message of Jesus Christ will be the message of judgment as well to people who don't believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the God of creation. The message of Jesus Christ would be the message of also forgiveness to those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why here meaning is it. He will bring forth justice. He will bring forth judgment to the nation. When we read the New Testament, we connect these teachings. John chapter 6 and verse 66. I know that Sunday school, adult Sunday school will look at John. When New Year starts, right? It's interesting, chapter John 6:16, it says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Now, what happened is, they literally saw Jesus Christ with their eyes. His mighty work, feeding 5,000 people. That's great, 5,000 people. And then when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and many people thought, what in the world? They just witnessed the mighty work of God. 5,000 people ate together. But when Jesus said, I am the bread of the Lord, life, and many people left and no longer walked with him. The message of Jesus Christ turned to them as a message of judgment. That is still happening to this world. God put his spirit upon Jesus Christ. And then Christ brings us the message of forgiveness of sins, the message of salvation every day. Yet many people turn back and no longer walk with Jesus Christ. Surely, his message is the message of judgment to some of them. So God's Spirit is with him because Jesus Christ will bring judgment, justice to the world. Now, verses 2 and 4 talks about the tasks of the servant. That's an interesting text. The interesting thing is that all his tasks are expressed in 7 negative words in our text. I'm going to read it to you. Verse 2, 3 of them. He will not cry aloud. Verse 2, he will not lift up his voice. Verse 2, he will not make it heard in the street. Move on to verse 3. He will not break. Verse 3, he will not quench, which means extinguish. Verse 4 again, he will not faint. Verse 4, he will not be crushed or discouraged. Now, if you read this passage as if you are reading a regular book, and you will be very confused and it's hard to understand what that means. You will not understand what the prophet is trying to say here. But yet, if we read these 7 negative sentences, teachings, with the life of Jesus Christ that we know from the New Testament, we will certainly understand what the prophet Isaiah is trying to say here. The coming Messiah and the kingdom of God, his kingdom that he will establish is a different than that of the kingdoms of the world. That is the bottom line. So our Lord, our ruler, the Messiah will do different things than other kings of the world. Their servant will not cry out to bring his justice to the world. This is not just crying because it's sad. No, this is cry out because he wants to judge. He does not have to lift up his voice to carry God's redeeming message. Isaiah repeats, he will not make it heard in the street. I'm going to explain to you what they mean. All the words here that we read in verse 2 is all about how. How the Messiah rules the nations. How the Messiah rules us, you and me. How the message of forgiveness will be preached. Now, first thing is a cry out. Now, many kings and rulers that we know, and kings and rulers cried out to bring their own justice and rules to their kings, their kingdoms, and their people. Now, that means they have to carry sometimes violence and injustice, many other evil things. And now, however, the kingdom of God will be different. As Jesus is the Prince of Peace that we read in Isaiah chapter 9, there will be no more injustice, violence, and evils. So, the Messiah will not cry out. As Isaiah 11 describes, the Messiah will rule the nation with His righteousness. Therefore, the true justice and peace that we want, true justice and peace all the people in the world want to see and have, will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And two more expressions from Isaiah. Will not lift up his voice, and will not make it heard in the street. This brings the same meaning. The servant will speak with calmness and quiet. The message of peace, the message of God's salvation will be preached to the nation through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That means cry out. And verse 3 also tells about how the servant shows his mercy and grace to the weak and oppressed. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. We see another word, another time, justice again. The mission of the servant that God has called is to bring God's mercy to his elected people, elected ones who are unfairly oppressed in the world. Now, verse 3 is comforting our hearts. It comforts our hearts and encourages our broken hearts. Think about this way. We are living in a world that if we are weak, and we'll be treated like a losers and failure. But in the kingdom of God, in God's kingdom, Jesus Christ will never judge us based on our weakness. I think that is an awesome thing. I love that kingdom is coming right away. Whether Jesus takes his pity upon us, as showing his love and compassion. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 10, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, and hardships, and persecutions, and calamities. He said, for when I'm weak, then I am strong, because the Lord Jesus Christ is with me. As God holds Jesus Christ, Christ holds you and me with his mighty hands. A bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed like you and me he will not break. We are living in a world that if we make mistakes or did something poor jobs, we'll be judged and oppressed, scolded by many people. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ will never oppress us. He will not quench a faintly burning wick. Rather, Jesus Christ will be our power and our strong. And as Paul says, Philippians chapter 4, 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He is a source of our contentment, whether we have a lot of things in our hands, whether we have a lot of money, we have nothing. We can do all things in Jesus Christ. A bruised reed he will not break. A faintly burning wick he will not quench. That's the job of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 4 tells of the message of servant that he will bring to the nation. Verse 4, he has established justice again in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Now here first, Jesus Christ will bring justice and judgment to the world. That's obvious. It happens here three times in this chapter. And second, and eventually the earth and the coastlands, all the people will wait his justice. Now we see that Isaiah is prophesying the future kingdom, its coming kingdom. However, it's interesting how the servant will bring his justice to the world. In verse 4, he will not grow faint or be discouraged. Now, this particular phrase, we see the suffering Christ, the suffering of Jesus Christ. Yes, we know that he suffered. We know that he was crucified on the cross. We know that he died for our sins. But however, all these things did not stop his plan and God's plan of redeeming us, God's plan of salvation for us. Romans 5:11, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So through his death, through his suffering and crucifixion, we have reconciliation with God. Surely God has fulfilled his promise. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth and coastlands waits for his law. God's work, his redeeming work, his saving grace for us is great. And nothing will be able to separate you and me from his love and his choice and his grace, Romans 8. Then, during my study, my question was, why will all these things happen to the servant that Isaiah prophesies in verses 2 and 4 that I just finished? Actually, the answer, why Christ is ruling like this or suffering, the answer is found in verse 6. Why? Isaiah chapter 46, because I am the Lord. In other words, I am Yahweh. Now, I have a computer software that can type it, this particular phrase, and my computer software shows me how many times in happening in the Old Testament. So I copied from Hebrew Bible, I am Yahweh, two words, and put it into a search mode and just click, and it's there that 745 times happening, exactly the same phrase, I am Yahweh. And then I look at not all 745, but look at a bunch of them. I found that when God was about to conform, and when God was about to do something to his people, when God was about to confirm his promises with his people, he used this phrase, I am Yahweh. The reason the Messiah came to us, the reason Messiah suffered for us, and everything that we read, 7 and 9 in Isaiah, 7 and 9, 11 and 42, everything is happening to us because I am Yahweh, the covenant God. For example, in Genesis 15 and 7, same thing, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh who brought you from Ur of the Chaldean to give you this land to possess. Speaking to Abraham. And then Exodus chapter 20 and 2. Before God gave them the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God. Reminding them who he is. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the course of slavery. And Leviticus 11, chapter 45, this is an interesting word. For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy. I am holy. So what do you hear when you read in this text, in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 7, I am Yahweh. I am the Lord. His mighty works for us. He is the one who saved us from our sins, His work. And His amazing grace for us. He is the one who sent His Son, His one and only Son, to save us. So His call for us, He's the one who has called you and me to be His children. And then He is the God of Emmanuel who is be with us all the time. So when God says, I am Yahweh, it reminds us of all kinds of His promises, His mighty work, His salvation, His grace, His calling. And God is with us. So Messiah had to come. Because He is our God. The God continues to declare about the servant in verse 6. He says again, and I am the Lord. And here different say, because I have called you in righteousness. And then I will take you by the hand and keep you. And I will give you as a covenant for the people. Basically, God is saying to the servant, and I will be with you. Why is God with a servant? Why did God put His Spirit upon the servant? Why God has called him and take him by His hands and keep him? Why God gives him as a covenant for the people? The verse is found, answer is found in chapter 7. To open the eyes that are blind. To bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. The servant, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, must come to the world to redeem you and me from our sins. The work of the servant is to open the eyes of the blind who don't know Christ. The work of the servant is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, to the world. So we have to understand that our text is not talking about the physical blind, but the spiritual blind, the people, because of spiritual blind people, result of their sins. We are not able to see things clearly because of our sins. So Jesus has come to open our eyes. Also, Jesus opens the eyes of the blind to see their sins before God. 1 John in chapter 1 verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have a fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sins. It's a very interesting verse that we can read. Jesus came to us as a light to shine us so that we can see who we are before God. Jesus Christ came to the world to bring the light upon those who walked in darkness. John 1 and 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He has to come to the world to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. We know that that is repeating. Now, our text concludes with God's promise again in verse 8 and 9. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to you, no other, nor my praises to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now here in verse 8, God declares that just one thing, He is the true God. That's why He used the word glory. That's why He said, Know my praise to carved idols. What happened to Israelites? When you read the Old Testament, it's happening again and again and again. God saved them. God took care of them. Right after that, the Israelites turned aside, looking at different things. When Moses went up to the mountain, the Israelites asked Aaron, make something. So Aaron made something, calf, and they call it God. This is God that saved from us from Egypt. Nonsense. But it happened to them. Actually, it's happening to us. So verse 8 is declaring to us again that God is only one, the true God, God of salvation. The Messiah is true God, the God of salvation. Now, John Calvin understood that the word glory refers to the fulfillment of what God has promised, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. My glory I give to no other. Jesus Christ for us. Verse 9 tells of the fulfillment of God's promise again. The former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Now here our former lifestyles and our sins and every negative thing is happening to us, and everything is gone through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God has fulfilled the new things coming, new things that He has promised through His servant. And also God will fulfill new things coming that God has promised through Jesus Christ when He comes again, that we are waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers, sisters in the Lord, I intentionally skipped verse 5. Now, verse 5 emphasizes who God is. God says, thus says the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit to those who walk in it. With God's blessings this year, with our faith in Jesus Christ, we made this year, 2015, as a church. And from this text and this teaching, we see that God is the one who created the heavens and earth. God is the one who gave life and death to His people. God is the one who gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to us. God is the one who controls us, even our church. God is with us, as Isaiah chapter 7 says. Even verse 8 says again, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor may praise to carved idols. Brothers and sisters, now is a time for us to give thanks to our God and to praise Him at the end of this year for His mighty work in our lives, for His salvation plan for us, for His future blessing, for His future promises in Jesus Christ for us. So the year 2016 will be so exciting for all of us, because when we look at 2015, what God has done for us, when we look at all 2,000 years, 3,000 years back to when Isaiah proclaimed the word of God, we will see the year coming. We will see how God will fulfill His promises in Jesus Christ. God will surely bless this church, increase our numbers, the image that many people will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and come and worship the Lord. The message of Jesus Christ will open the eyes of the blind. Only Jesus Christ, not something else. Not programs and not amazing things. Only Christ. God will bless you and me and our church and everything in many different ways to bring our hearts to Christ again. For former things have come to pass, and new things will come to us and again and again. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And now it's our call to be a light of all the people. That's the conclusion of my sermon. God has to bring the Messiah to save us. Now it's our turn to bring the light to the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Messianic chapters that we have looked at over the weeks. Thank you for reminding us of God's promises and His fulfillment through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are amazed by your profound words from Isaiah chapter 42, how you are working through in Jesus Christ, how you are blessing us through Jesus Christ. Lord, would you help us to understand this particular text and help us to go to the world and to be light, bring the light of Jesus Christ to the world as Jesus Christ came to us as the light. We pray all these things, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.